he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the pre-holiday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And what can I say? You know, we had that one weird day on Wednesday, which was down, but I'm going to say like 19 out of the last 20 days, something like that. A very high percentage of days have been up. To end this year, it all began with the Fed pivot. The Dow is up 103 to 37,508 today. The NASDAQ is up 61. It is back up above 15,000 at 15,023. The small caps are up 1.1%, up 23 points. Small caps have been ruling the roost here recently, as have lower PE stocks. And I'm seeing that action once again today. The S&P 500 is up 22 to 47.68 as it closes in on its all-time high. The crude oil markets, the Houthi Straits, the Red Sea, under attack by the Houthi rebels, $74.73 right now on crude oil. $74.73. Gold is up $30 an ounce today. Big move for gold as it is at or near a new all-time high, 2080. And the 10-year clear down to 3.87%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show as we prepare for a three-day week. Have you checked, Barry, is Monday a holiday? Do we get the day off?
We will get Christmas off, and for the record, so next this time, at least for the next two Christmas Eves, will be during the week.
We'll get a half day.
I didn't want you to go all the way over to the bond dark side, right? And so even though the bond folks will be off at 2 p.m. today, next year, with Christmas Eve being during the week, it'll be a half day prior to Christmas Day, and Christmas Day will be a full off trading day.
Okay, so. Good. Well, the market really snapped back yesterday after that scare on Wednesday. That kind of came out of nowhere. It seemed to be some odd options type action that spooked the market a bit. We had a 300-point rally in the Dow yesterday. Buy the dip, that's been the mantra all year long. The S&P was up 48 yesterday. The NASDAQ was 186. We're hitting a new high today again. Had a good year. And the 10-year is way down at 3.87, 3.85, very low. Interest rates, we're going to begin a year with a pretty favorable interest rate environment. We had good numbers on the economy yesterday. We're not seeing any signs of a recession yet. Micron came through yesterday with some big earnings and saying that the PC and mobile markets are back. That's big news. And on the other hand, FedEx was blaming their poor report on global economic volatility. So, you know, look, if you have a bad report, it's easiest to blame the economy. But, you know, I would just say that the vast majority of companies aren't having any issues right now with the economy. So, anyways, that was nice to see that big snap back yesterday. Now, there's a couple of big stories here today. I'm going to say that the number one story is inflation and the lack thereof, because the Fed's favorite inflation gauge continues trending lower in November. That is the PCE, which rose only 3.2% year over year in November. But let's compare that with Argentina at 161%, We're at 3.2%. No wonder Argentina is going in a totally new direction. That'll be the story to watch next year, 2024, see how that big experiment down on Argentina works. But anyways, our PCE, very soft.
The month-over-month core was, I mean, way below expectations. The month-over-month core, which, of course, excludes all the stuff we need, you know, like food and energy, rose just 0.1% versus 0.4 expected, which is pretty amazing when you look at it from a from a Fed standpoint. That's their gauge, and certainly gives them, you know, makes more of the case, right, for potential them having the ability to do some cutting.
Yeah, some rate cuts. Now, the other big story, and this should not surprise you at all. Tencent, NetEase, lead market route after new draft for gaming rules in China, which I've been saying now for, I don't know, a couple of years, that for me, China is uninvestable because of things like this. The government steps in and, drafts new gaming rules that are draconian for their big tech stocks. Tencent is one of the biggest companies in China. NetEase is another one. And bam, there goes the Chinese market once again. FXP, which is first let's look at FXI, which is the Chinese ETF. It's down 2.8% today and hitting a new 52-week low, while our markets are hitting new 52-week highs. And we've also looked at the performance of China over the last 10 years. It's actually down while our markets have roared higher. So, look, I mean,
they can pull the rug out from under you whenever they want.
That's the problem, you know. Just when I was thinking about, you know, PDD is one of the... And recently, one of the big wirehouse firms said Alibaba is the cheapest big tech stock in the world. Well, I agree with that, but, okay, you have that extra geopolitical risk, and Alibaba's down 1.41% today. Now, we look at the inverse China, which I was pointing out about 3 or 4 weeks ago in my newsletter, that thing was breaking out to new highs. That's inverse China. It's inverse China two times, FXP. And it's up 6.5% today. So I don't know. I mean, that is, again, one of the worries for 2024 is China.
Well, and Nike
and their economy.
Yeah, and then you go through, and how does that affect U.S. companies, right? Nike, for example, down 11% today. They actually noted it's pretty significant softer sales than expected in China.
So exactly,
we've been talking about the fact that they really have not recovered, you thought that was beginning of the year, right? You thought that they were going to be a tailwind for commodity prices and a lot of other things, and. Frankly, one of the reasons that we've seen inflation come down as much as it has is partly because inflation, really China's been exporting deflation.
That's exactly right. So. And, the Dow is up despite Nike is tanking right now. Nike is down, let me take a look here, and it is a member of the Dow. Nike is down 11.2%. Mm-hmm. So that's like, the third or fourth one this week. We saw FedEx get clobbered. I got to believe that has something. And, when they say global macroeconomic volatility, that's got to be referring to China, which is creating the biggest volatility of all. And, why am I worried about China? Because it could drag down the global economy. And I also have been warning about companies that have big exposure to China. And Nike has big exposure to China. Apple has big exposure to China. Tesla has pretty big exposure to China. And, you could draw up a list. I'm sure you can ask ChatGPT, what are the publicly traded companies with the most exposure to China? Now, Boeing, on the other hand, they're getting a bit of a lift. They delivered their first 787 to China yesterday, first one in many years. But that China economy's got to be pretty worrisome in 2024. That's something the Fed can't do anything about, right? Jerome Powell is powerful, but there's not a lot he can do about China policy and the China economy now.
There's only one person that comes to mind that can do anything about that, and that would be
President Xi.
Exactly.
And his cabinet and his economic ministers. Yeah. And, you know, I don't
whichever
know.
Whichever ones he chooses to remain there.
Something is not working there in China.
Yeah.
Okay, now when we come back, I find this to be quite a stunning story in the chip sector. And then I want to dig into Nike just a little bit. I also wonder if Nike's not losing market share to Hoka. I think it's Hoka. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now and the Worst Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, here's your question. What new machine costs $300 million each, and it is shipped to your door in 12 separate crates, and when it's assembled, it'll be as big as a truck? No, it's not a Lego, a monster truck Lego full size. It's ASM lithography.
I was going to say, it's not a plane kit, is it?
Yeah, a lot of little model airplanes.
Yeah,
but $300 million's a little steep for a Lego.
I guess that would be, yeah, that's true.
Well, ASM Lithography is shipping their very first lithography system. This is extreme ultraviolet lithography. These are the most high-tech, some of the most high-tech machines in the world, making high-speed chips, and they will help chip makers produce smaller and faster semiconductors. And who's the first buyer? Intel. Intel. So it tells me a couple of things, that ASM still absolutely dominates. This is one of our biggest holding, and it has been all year long. Let's just take a look and see, where is ASML? How has it done this year? It's out of the Netherlands. Well, it's up 38.2%, so it hasn't done as well as the Nifty 50 or the Nifty Fabulous 7, I guess it was this year. I remember the Nifty 50 back in 2000. We had the FANG Index. A lot of them changed their name, so FANG doesn't work anymore. But ASM has had a good year, and they continue to be the dominant. You know, to make these chips, very few of the chip companies make their own chips. They're fabless. They're called fabless companies, such as Qualcomm, such as NVIDIA, such as AMD. They send the designs to these foundries and chip makers, and the foundries are stocked with equipment from Applied Materials, from Lam Research, from KLA. But the dominant one for high-speed chips is ASML, which is now a $300 billion company out of the Netherlands, $300 billion company. This stock was earning $3.78 in 2016. Today it's going to earn, this year, about $20. So you've had six-fold growth in earnings. And guess what? The stock is up about six-fold. Funny how that works, how there's that tremendous correlation between earnings growth and stock price appreciation.
I know somebody's mantra that somebody that has that mantra a lot, right? Growth.
Yes.
Stocks follow earnings.
Okay, and the opposite of that is non-growth companies. Okay, how are you going to get growth out of a stock that doesn't have growth in earnings? So This leads me to an observation I made yesterday. We had a couple portfolios come in from a, don't mention the name, but from a major wirehouse firm, okay? Regional wirehouse firm. And, you know, look, I call my whole system best stocks now. When I looked at that portfolio, I could only say one thing in my mind. Those are the worst stocks now. Really, literally. I mean, all of them. There wasn't hardly a good one in the whole batch. I mean, a lot of tobacco stocks, a lot of non-growth big drug stocks like Merck and Pfizer, and just on and on and on. Now, they may be big names, and there may be some security like a warm blanket, you know, wrapped around you, Johnson & Johnson, but there's no growth in these companies anymore. So, anyways, look, you have to choose. That's why I say you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do, you know, manage your own money, whatever the case may be.
You got to do some get you to do some gardening, right?
Oh, man, I got out the pruning clippers yesterday and the
sling blade.
Yeah. It's going to take some time, you know, I got a big job in front of me. All right, so ASM lithography. Now, I just want to go to Nike for a minute here. They post a very mixed Q2 earnings report. They're already in their second quarter of 2025, I guess. But they use the same terminology that FedEx used, macro headwinds. But they narrowed it down and were a little more specific. They said particularly in China. Okay, as well as some supply chain disruption. Well, you know, look, Nike is not a young company anymore. Nike is a very mature company. It's not a big grower anymore. This quarter that they just reported, their sales were up 1%. 1% sales. And over the last 5 years, they've been a 10% grower, but they're not a 10% grower anymore. They're a single-digit growth company. So what are they going to probably do? Raise their dividend, Barry. That's usually what companies that are slowing down in growth to keep investors hanging around and keep them from moving on to faster growth companies, they raise their dividend.
Yeah, and they just worked. I mean, in the last quarter, right, they had some good news in terms of working through a good bit of inventory that they had built up. And so, on top of that news, right, fact is once you finally get through some inventory that you've built up, right, and then, of course, now you've got some guidance where sales are dropping. So
yeah. Well, and I'm just looking at Deckers' recent quarter, which I'm going to call a comparable company. I'm going to call it the best of class, and I'm going to call Nike a very kind of mediocre stock at this point in its life cycle. Decker's most recent quarter, their earnings were up 79%, and their sales were up 25%. Nike's sales were up 1%. And I got to believe that the Hoka shoe has taken a little bite out of Nike. Those are some really good shoes. And, you know, you're starting to get the marathon runners, Boston Marathon, New York Marathon. You look at the top 10.
You got the OnCloud and right to the other.
And the OnCloud's got to be cutting into them too, which is out of Switzerland. So anyways, Nike, and, you know, that's part of the wire. I used to play a little game, but it was true. I mean, someone would come in and meet with me, and I'd say, where's your portfolio? And they'd say, well, it's at one of the big wirehouse firms. And like Johnny Carson used to do, I would hold up an envelope to my head and say, let's see, I see IBM.
Did you have the hat in your desk
drawer? No, I didn't
do
that. I didn't have a little crystal ball, but I said, I see IBM, I see Hewlett-Packard, I see Johnson & Johnson. And they said, how did you know what was in my portfolio? I said, because that's what Wall Street does. Wall Street exports, you know, and invest in big names. Someone's got to buy them. Big names that aren't growing anymore.
Well, Karnak,
for the most part.
Yeah.
Karnak, the
the magnificent.
Yeah.
So, love it.
Okay, we talked yesterday. Well, we'll have to talk about this when we come back. Apparently, our bid didn't win the 70 million acres under the water in the Gulf of Mexico. But we do have a winner, and we'll announce the winner here when we come back. And a big winner in the rocket sector. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Talos Energy, T-A-L-O, out of Houston, where our show is now on Monday through Friday, is the apparent high bidder on 13 deep water blocks in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico. So anyway, you would have expected Exxon or BP or Chevron, but no, Talos, which is pretty small company compared to the others. Talos actually is a small cap, $1.8 billion market cap company. But they're making a bold move here, with the winning bid, in the offshore auction. Rocket Labs, RKLB. You know what? Space is gonna, I remember talking about space junk and space clutter many years ago. Since then, you know, we've got all of Elon Musk's satellites circling the globe, with his Starlink. And Starlink is probably the big leader in all of that. Global Star is another one. But the amount of stuff circling the Earth is mind-boggling now.
Yeah, it's stacking up, and it's a very interesting, no pun intended, a very interesting space. My wife has a friend who's, She's been studying space law, which there's very little law that applies, especially international law that applies to space, and it's kind of that next, literally that next frontier in terms of, I think there's a movie coming out that's called ISS, which basically is about the International Space Center, and it's, basically a war breaks out between Russia and U.S. in the movie, and they're, of course, they're battling it out in the potentially in the space station. So there's a whole there's really no rule. I mean, literally no international
space
law
cowboy
in space. So, yeah, and so they're working on. There's big discussions, and there's think tanks, and the world's been trying to get together and determining some of these, what the rule should be. But yeah, I mean, you're basically polluting the area around, the orbits around the Earth.
It's
which
getting crowded.
Will hurt satellites and other, could potentially disrupt communications.
Yeah. Well, Rocket Labs is launching 18 space vehicles. Vehicles. All right. Speaking of vehicles, Ford says half of its dealerships are waiting to decide on whether or not they want to even have EV inventory. Okay, that's how weak the demand is. You know, we heard that they were cutting way back on their Lightning trucks. They cut the production in half. But now they're saying half of its dealers nationwide have yet to choose whether they will sell the company's electric vehicles in 2024. That's because the dealerships have to install a lot of new equipment to service these vehicles. It requires additional investment from the dealerships, and they're not really seeing the demand right now for the electric vehicles. Now,
money. The other thing, I mean, that's where dealerships make most of their money is on servicing vehicles, and frankly, besides changing some batteries out and probably sounds like changing a tire, Bill.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, there's really, you know, there's really not near as much, you know, quote unquote maintenance. And, you know, that's why, for example, you know, one of the reasons why Tesla really doesn't have a dealership model, because it's going to cut into their profits.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to change the oil. You don't need to service the, you know, the transmission and all this kind of stuff. It's a whole new ball game, and a lot of the dealerships are just saying, you know, I don't know if we even want him on our lot, which is crazy. Now, we said the same thing when we visited Bloomfield Hills, which I can't wait to go back to Bloomfield Hills. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully sometime in early next year we'll be back. But, you know, we just talked to the people. Most of the people we met with, I think it's fair to say, were associated with the automobile industry
in some
one way or
fashion.
Another. Yeah. In one way or another. It's just like, you know, there's not any buzz or any desire or people clamoring to get an electric vehicle right now. So unless something changes. Now, Canada, like I say, 100% electric vehicle by 2035. California with the same kind of thing. Bristol Myers is looking for something. Now, here's a good example of a worse stock now. Now, there's something to be said about contrarian investing and buying low P.E. stocks. Bristol Myers has a P.E. ratio of 7. And you say, well, Bill, I mean, that fits your low P.E. that you think the market's going to turn. Yeah, but you still have to pick the best within the low P.E. When I do evaluation on BMY, this is right from the beststocksnowapp.com. What I like about the valuation is I can immediately eliminate a stock and not even go any further with my research. So it saves a lot. It saves me. I invented this whole thing for me. It saves me a lot of time. I have 30% upside potential for BMY over the next 5 years. That's horrible. That's an F value grade. So I need 75 or 80%, even in a low P.E. stock. And there are, yes, there are low P.E. stocks that match that criteria and those requirements that I have. But most of the low P.E. stocks that fit my criteria, they don't have P.E.s in 6-7 range. They're more in the 15 to 20 in there. And a lot of them are more in the mid small cap range. Okay, so I'm just giving you a heads up here. Just because a stock is low PE doesn't make it a good value cheap stock. It's like Barry said, a lot of times these stocks are low PE because that's what they deserve. They're non-growth companies. You're not going to get a glamour PE multiple on a non. You're going to get a single digit, maybe a 10. Let's just call 10 like the standard PE. We'll pay 10 times earnings for a non-growth company, and then we'll see if we can buy it and juice the growth from there. But they don't get a premium multiple. They're buying Karuna Therapeutics, which was not on my radar.
And yeah, and I think the important thing behind it is the reason they made another acquisition, I think a month or two ago, for a cancer treatment company. And these, especially your bigger, conglomerate drug makers, they face heavy patent cliffs, and so couple of their big drugs in those two areas were coming close to dropping off and becoming generic, which cuts significantly into their profits. And you either invest in R&D and come up with new ideas on your own, or you go out and buy them.
Yeah, that are a little further into the pipeline.
Right.
Now, KRTX, it was ranked number 778 out of 5,500. So, it wasn't. And then it had an A momentum grade, A momentum rating. So there must have been a little bit of buzz or expectations that they might be a takeover candidate, because it was trading pretty well. It had a good chart, too. KFC China becomes the first Western fast food chain in China with 10,000 locations. How about that? The Chinese have fallen in love with, while the Americans have fallen out of love with Kentucky Fried, it just seems to me
that Popeyes,
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Popeyes or Chick-fil-A, I was about to say. Take the bone out of it.
Chick-fil-A eats KFC for lunch around this. I don't see a line and five people directing traffic at a Kentucky Fried Chicken location. Instead, they got a guy dressed in a Colonel Sanders bucket waving people in, you know, trying to get them in the line to get a Happy Meal or whatever they call it. But anyways, 10,000 locations. And, of course, they spun that off into Yum China. So, anyways, that's interesting. Tesla, they're going to build a big – they bought land in China. They're going to build a big mega pack. That's batteries plant in China. Now, that does seem to be the one electric vehicle that people want, is the Tesla, right?
Right.
I mean, they literally, there's demand for Teslas. But demand is not going, through the roof for a Honda EV or a Nissan EV or a Kia EV. But Tesla, you know, has that sex appeal, has that following, has that... it's a little bit of a status symbol to drive a Tesla, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, and the repurchase too. So the other thing is, an iPhone, right? You want to be in that brand. So your next purchase, if you're purchasing an electric car, probably going to be a Tesla if you already owned one, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm watching Beyond here, BYON, which ended up with Bed Bath & Beyond inventory. And they got Marcus Lemonis. That stock's starting to move a little bit, but will they ever be profitable? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show before we start a holiday weekend. It's always fun to look underneath the surface, look inside the presence, peek underneath what's moving the indexes here. And there's definitely been a trend lately. Now, the last several weeks of December can be kind of weird. You do have some rotation and people positioning for next year. You do have some tax loss harvesting and stocks that were down in 2023. And I think you've got people holding on to stocks that they're dying to trim, but they don't want to get tagged with the capital gains tax until the following year. So there's a lot, and you've got the window dressing taking place. So there's a lot of weird dynamics, but there's definitely been few dominant trends that I've noticed here. One of those trends is a move towards lower PE stocks from the high PE stocks. The high PE stocks are not selling off, but they're kind of been going sideways here. And I think, January, you could see some fireworks the first few weeks of January. Could get very interesting. You could think about hedging against a sell-off in the big tech, the Fabulous Seven. How would you hedge against that? Well, there's an inverse FANG ETF. There's an inverse NASDAQ ETF and things like that. So I'm just throwing that out there. I continue to see this move. So look at today. Look at the Dow today. Here's your biggest gainers in the Dow. You've got Raytheon, which has a PE of 16, okay? And a total contrarian stock. I mean, Raytheon really had a terrible year. Amgen, PE ratio of 15, is the number two performer in the Dow. And Amgen has not really come up with a hit song in a long, long time, a hit drug. This stock is having a huge day today. There's some accumulation taking place. There is some talk of them having a weight loss candidate. The number three performer today in the Dow is DuPont, which, there's no growth hardly at all. It's a dividend payer, which I think is another area that underperformed this year, the dividend payers. And they definitely could outperform the market next year. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics taking place. The number four performer in the Dow is Intel. Interesting that, you know, they're making a big, bold move in the high-speed chip area, probably to compete with AMD. They probably very cannot compete with AMD without having these high-tech processors. They got to make some investment to catch up.
Well, and you have to secure. Yeah, you've got to secure the infrastructure right before you can. It's no different than production line. You got to have the conveyor belts to crank out the product, right?
Yes. Now, Intel is probably the surprising stock of the year. It's up 78% so far this year.
I'm still laughing when you were telling me about the bruise on the back.
It's getting blacker and bluer every day because I said I'm just going to buy some here, even though it doesn't make sense from a. It's a turnaround. It's a turnaround play, and it's going well, apparently. The stock's hitting a new 52-week high today.
I think that's the biggest, my biggest laugh on the show this year.
Yes, kicking myself.
Is when you said that, I had to mute for a while and catch my breath.
I've kicked myself many times over the years for talking myself out of something, and then it just went on and on and on, became a huge winner. Here's another one that's leading the Dow today. 3M, P.E. ratio 12. Well, will the value investors finally have something to cheer about in 2024?
But 3M at 12, 3M at 12 sounds a bit rich. I don't know.
Well, growth has been one. What do you mean? Growth is 1% a year.
I wonder what the PEG ratio is on that one.
So there you go. I mean, the problem is there's no growth in these companies. Yeah. Now, look, you say, well, that's the Dow, Gunderson. What about the NASDAQ? That's where the go-go stocks are. Well, I see the same exact dynamic happening in the NASDAQ today. You've got Insight, a P.E. of 20 as the leading stock. You've got Amgen with a P.E. of 15. Number three is Dollar Tree with the P.E. actually a 25, which is kind of high for this market right now. And then you got Intel. And then you got Walgreens with a P.E. of 7. These are the biggest winners in the NASDAQ, the tech-heavy NASDAQ. Biogen, which has not had a hit for quite some time, P.E. ratio of 16. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's low P.E. Now, let's just see if the S&P 500 is showing the same kind of pattern here. Absolutely. It's out of favor stocks. There's been a big contrarian move over the last couple of weeks in the market. Will it continue into 2024, or is this just somewhere to park your money now, until some of these big flyers pull back a little bit? But you're definitely seeing a contrarian move. Bristol Myers is up 2.6% today. P.E. ratio is 7. Hanes Brands, just a lot of boring stocks, really, are leading the market. And what's absent? Well, you didn't hear me mention NVIDIA. You didn't hear me mention AMD. You didn't hear me mention Meta or Microsoft or Alphabet. They've just come to kind of a standstill. And, you know, I just think that we could see some selling in these stocks in early January. Anyways, I'm going to be writing the newsletter today, and I'll be sending it out tomorrow. We are definitely seeing rotation in the market. Last year, the rotation was into the NASDAQ, and we called it on January the 6th. What will I be saying in this week's newsletter? You get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. I'm not married to growth investing. I've done lots of value investing. After the NASDAQ crashed, value led the way for several years, believe it or not. So, we'll just see. You know, I take it one position at a time, one opportunity at a time, weigh them out, try to make the best decisions that I can possibly make, one by one, methodical. To set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, try to get on the right track. in 2024. We can't guarantee anything, but we'll do our best. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.